Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, and Abyaz Karim. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. You were just telling me about your umbrella here.
Yes! I'm wondering if you could get into that. So my umbrella, it says Stop the Hospital Cuts. Was developed by QP and in conjunction with O2 8 years ago. And here I stand again in front of KGH Emerge with this umbrella and my flag, and there's been no resolution. It's been a long fight, and it continues to be a fight.
Would you say it's gotten better or worse?
It's been worse. That's why the stretchers are here, you know? So it's hallway medicine now. The cuts back then, we saw hallway medicine, but not to the degree. So it's just been eroding and eroding year after year after year. And it's disheartening. And we have to ensure in this election that that changes.
Who you just heard from was Julia Lynch, a retiree with QP at a demonstration organized by QP's Ontario Council of Hospital Unions on Monday outside of Kingston General Hospital. On the eve of the provincial election, O2 QP members and supporters set up a lineup of hospital stretchers outside of Kingston General Hospital, symbolizing, quote, the crisis in Ontario's healthcare. This demonstration is taking place at hospitals across Ontario, with Northumberland, Sudbury, Belleville, Oshawa, London, Peterborough, and more municipalities seeing similar sights this week. Michael Hurley, president of QP's Ontario Council of Hospital Unions, spoke with CFRC at the demonstration.
You have the stretchers out here in front of Kingston General Yes. Hospital. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to the symbolism there and why you've decided to demonstrate this way.
Well, the stretchers, represent the 2,000 people who are on stretchers in hospital hallways on any given day in Ontario now. That's up from 850 when the current government promised to eliminate them. But we also want to talk about the fact that there's 250,000 people waiting for surgeries, and that over 11,000 of those people died waiting last year. We want to talk about the 2.5 million people who don't have a family doctor, and the 50,000 people who are waiting for long-term care. So those are all issues that we'd really like to see have more discussion in this election.
As you mentioned, that we do have a specific focus on overcrowding and hallway health care in today's demonstration. Bit about the issues that lead to that and what issues those cause.
Well, the reason that we have this problem is because we have an aging and growing population, and we spend the least of any province and consequently have the fewest hospital beds and hospital numbers of hospital staff to patients of any hospital system in the world with a developed economy. And so the way people experience that is that they are turned away, even though they might be acutely ill, or they'll spend days on a stretcher waiting for a bed, or their surgery will be delayed for, a year, for 2 years, in some tragic cases, people will miss an early diagnosis of cancer because they don't have access to the kind of primary care that they should have, the access to a family doctor. And so these are all manifestations of a system which is really struggling as a result of undercapacity.
And I was wondering if you could dive a bit deeper into the specific issue of hallway healthcare.
Well, this is a really sinister development. I mean, we've closed so many hospital beds in this province. Like in Kingston, you used to have two functioning acute care hospitals. Now you've got one. You've undergone a significant reduction in the number of beds that you have available to the public over the years. But now the population is growing and it's aging. So as people age, they need more care. And where are they looked after? Often they're looked after on stretchers in the hallway. And that deprives people of any privacy or any dignity. And it also subjects them to risk from the close proximity of having people together like this means that the chance of them acquiring a hospital infection like MRSA or C. difficile is significantly higher. And because of the understaffing situation, the risk of medical error for these people and for all the patients in the hospital is significantly increased as well. Anything over 85% capacity, and you have the possibility of medical error going up significantly. And in Ontario, and in a hospital like this one, we operate significantly over 85% capacity.
Mm-hmm. And this is a constant issue, but why specifically today for this demonstration?
Well, in the context of the provincial election, we wanted to try to raise this issue and to popularize it, get people talking about it and encouraging them to talk about their own experiences with healthcare and demand of all the political parties that they put forward programs that would actually make some meaningful changes. And for example, like we would call for confirmed funding for a hospital like this one on a five-year basis with a significant infusion of new money with the goal of getting people off the stretchers and off the surgical wait lists. We'd want a commitment like that from a party running for government.
Doug Allen, a senior healthcare researcher at CUPE, provided some key insights from CUPE's research that underscore the challenges facing healthcare workers and the current state of patient care.
Ford ran on a platform of ending hallway healthcare in 2018. We're now 1,034 beds more than when he came to power. It's an over 100% increase. Funding is the lowest across Canada for hospitals of any province. Staff-wise, we're missing about 34,000 staff compared to other provinces on a per capita basis. Because the funding is so low, we're in the first half of this fiscal year, Ontario hospitals have a revenue shortfall of about $800 million. In the case of this hospital here, KHSC, we're running $12.5 million short of funding. The government doesn't make clear funding, and the hospitals just have to muddle through. Michael, I think, mentioned that we have a need for extra beds and that we're running at very high bed occupancies. For KHSC, we need another 56 beds, staffed and beds and in operation, in order to run at a safe level. And because of all of these sorts of backups, and they end up in the emergency room, people can't move out. Out of those beds until they move to other areas, is that fully 82% of patients who are admitted to the hospital at KHSC through the emergency room are not admitted within the target wait time of 8 hours. So, you know, big backups, frustration.
Members of the Kingston Health Coalition were also present to show their support. Co-chair of the Kingston Health Coalition, Joan Jardin, shared what response she's hoping to see from the province.
I want the Ontario government to work with the people to do what's best for people, and that is our public health care system that we fought so hard for. In fact, we shouldn't be fighting for the very basics now. We should be looking to expand and make it better. This is Ontario, Canada. If we can't have good health care in Ontario, Canada, where in the world can we? And I do not believe in the excuse of there is no money, because we've seen where money has been spent. And I would rather the money be spent on people. It's an investment in people. It helps their life, makes it better, and in fact saves money in the long run. It's the most important thing that we can do, and we should actually build on it.
The Ministry of Health did not respond to a request for comment from CFRC. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is the latest Queen's Campus news updates on Campus Corner.
Good evening, folks. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you're listening to our segment, Campus Corner, your go-to source for campus updates. We have got a packed week ahead with events that focus on Black History Month, mental health, leadership training, and professional development. Let's get into it. Kicking things off, Monday, February 3rd, marks the start of Black Histories and Future Month at Queen's. Join the Black Student Clubs Caucus and Human Rights and Equity Office for a powerful opening event at Mitchell Hall's Rose Innovation Hub from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. This year's theme is Threads Weaving Black Joy and Experiences at Queen's, and it will also feature a panel discussion on the methods to the magic of Black Joy, plus an exciting performance by the ACSA dance troupe. You can stay afterwards for refreshments and a networking session. For more details, contact Jeremiah Marshall at jbm15@queensu.ca. For those in advising roles, there is a must-attend professional development workshop on Tuesday, February 4th. It's from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at McIntosh Corey Hall, room B176. This professional advanced coaching workshop will help advisors build emotional intelligence, active listening, and boundary-setting skills to navigate complex and emotional student discussions. The session will include theory, case studies, and hands-on practice to improve your coaching techniques. This workshop is free, but registration is required. For more information, reach out to Joel Axel Richard at jmlr@queensu.ca. On Wednesday, February 5th, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Queen's is offering an online workshop, Mental Health Leadership Certificate Program, a first-of-its-kind initiative in Canada. Developed in partnerships with Bell Canada Mental Health and Anti-Stigma Research Chair. This program equips leaders with practical strategies for fostering a psychologically healthy workplace. Participants will complete an e-learning module before the live session on February 5th, with additional coursework running until May 5th, 2025. The fee is $375 and it will be charged to your department, and cancellations within 10 business days will incur a $50 administration fee. For more details, contact Daniel Diaz at daniel.diaz@queensu.ca. That's your campus update for this week. A celebration of Black excellence, skills for navigating student advising, and a groundbreaking mental health leadership program. Whether you're looking to engage in social justice, professional growth, or workplace well-being, Queen's has it all for you this week. And that's a wrap. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you were listening to our segment Campus Corner. Over to Isabella for Sports After.
History was made in Mobile, Alabama, as Canadian Taylor L. Gersma became the first U Sports quarterback to play in the NCAA's Senior Bowl. The 6'5" signal caller turned heads with impressive physical measurables during the week. Of all quarterbacks rated, L. Gersma was the tallest, had the largest hands, and had the longest wingspan. These physical attributes and L. Gersma's fearless play style led some to compare him to Buffalo Bills superstar quarterback Josh Allen. L. Gersma's direct draft comparison, however, is less hyperbolic. L. Gersma was compared to an infamous draft bust, quarterback Paxton Lynch. Lynch, a similarly long, lean, and deceptively athletic player, was taken by the Denver Broncos in the first round of the 2016 draft. Though Lynch's career did not pan out, some scouts are more confident that, with the right situation, L. Gersma could have a good pro career. Brock Vieira, a writer with Sports Illustrated, noted that L. Gersma's best fit would be with the Los Angeles Rams, where he would have time to learn behind their veteran, future Hall of Fame quarterback Matthew Stafford. L. Gersma himself slyly acknowledged this connection during his media day interviews, noting that he, quote, likes to watch how Stafford operates. Vieira added that he feels L. Gersma has 6th or 7th round potential and that he would be, quote, a great project for LA. The Rams would be the ideal situation for L. Gersma, but there is no shortage of quarterback-hungry teams in this year's NFL draft. Other teams that may take a flyer on the London-born quarterback include the New Orleans Saints, the Cleveland Browns, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. L. Gersma's performance during the Senior Bowl has only added fuel to these draft flames. He connected on a beautiful 43-yard pass in the second half that was equal parts power and finesse. We do not know if Taylor L. Gersma will be selected in the NFL draft. No matter what happens in April, however, he has broken new ground for Canadian football and blazed an unlikely trail from U Sports to the apex of professional football. Thank you. This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, February 5th, see a daytime high of -3 with a 40% chance of flurries, staying steady at -3 overnight with a 60% chance of snow. Thursday, February 6th, we'll see a daytime high of 1 degree with a 60% chance of snow throughout the day, dropping down to -8 overnight. Friday, February 7th, daytime high of -5, mix of sun and cloud, and a 30% chance of flurries. Saturday, February 8th, going to be a little bit colder with a daytime high of -5, but an overnight low of -14. Sunday, February 9th, we're going to see slightly warmer weather, daytime high of -1, overnight low of -9, with a 60% chance of snow flurries. And Monday, February 10th, we are going to see a daytime high of -3, a mix of sun and cloud during the day, and it's going to drop down to -12 overnight. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, February 3rd, 2025. We begin with the road closures. Aberdeen Street, William DeJohnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Princess to 486 Albert is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Avenue Road, McMahon to 283 Avenue is closed February 3rd at 7 a.m. to February 17th at 7 p.m. for a service connection replacement. Earl to Aberdeen and Division closed February 3rd to 10th to support construction activity. Frontenac Street, Brock to Johnson is closed February 4th and 5th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day for the replacement of a service connection. King Street, Young to Sir John A. McDonald is closed February 6th from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. for filming at Kingston Penitentiary. If a weather event occurs February 6th, the closure will take place from February 7th from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Again, that's only if a weather event occurs to delay filming. Market Street, King to Ontario closed January 27th to February 21st for the Spirit of Winter. Queen Street, Division to Clergy closed until February 7th for the demolition of 283 Queen Street. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue.
Hello, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History. Here's today's concert and events calendar. Starting with concerts, on Wednesday, Hotel Wolf Island will have Mike Rapkins hosting their free weekly open mic night from 8:30 to 11:30. Tiernanod will also be hosting their free open mic night with host Logan Brown starting at 7. On Thursday, Toronto band The Sadies and Kingston alt folk rock musician Evan Jackson will be performing at the Broom Factory at 7:30 with tickets available online for $30. The instrumental jazz and Latin group Clear Breeze will be performing a free show at Hotel Wolf Island from 6 to 9 p.m. And on Thursday, the John McLeod Band is going to be playing at the RCHA Club starting at 7 p.m. with a $5 cover charge. On Friday, Grammy Award-winning jazz musician Branford Marsalis will be playing with his quartet at the Isabel from 7:30 to 9. Tickets are available online for $92. Busty and the Bass, alongside Zach Zoya, will be performing at the Broom Factory at 7:30 with tickets going for just over $25. Also, the Toucan's going to have the Gertrudes playing from 5 to 8 p.m. at a free gig on Friday. On Saturday, the group Heatwave will be playing a collection of hits from The Supremes, Stevie Wonder, and many more from 8 to 11 p.m. at the RCHA Club, cover fee of $25. Tiernanog has the band Three Pistols booked for a free gig from 9 to 12, and the groups Potions and Poplar will be playing from 8:30 to 11 p.m. at Hotel Wolf Island. On Sunday, the Kingston Symphony will be performing from 2:30 to 4 at the Isabel, with tickets ranging from $20 to $50. And finally, local Kingston singer-songwriter Jonathan Jones will be performing at Spearhead Brewery from 2 to 5 p.m. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Once again, this is Henry, CFRC intern from the Department of History, continuing with this week's events calendar. On Wednesday, the Grad Club will be hosting the Open Stage Drag Show starting at 8 p.m. Those interested in performing should arrive before 7:45 or during intermission around 9 p.m. Performance slots are first come, first serve. The Mansion will also be hosting karaoke starting at 9. Also on Wednesday, both Something in the Water and Daft Brewing will be hosting their trivia nights starting at 7 p.m. On Thursday, Big Ticket, a new play by Jim Gerard, opens at the Grand Theater with tickets available online for roughly $33. Performances will continue up until the 23rd. Also, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Friday, both Daft Brewing and The Buckle will be hosting karaoke night starting at 9 p.m. Also, the City of Kingston's Spirit of Winter Festival continues at Springer Market Square with festivities starting for the 7th day in a row at 6 p.m. On Saturday, the Kingston Public Market runs at Springer Market Square starting at 8:30 a.m. Also on Saturday, a Valentine's pop-up market is going to take place at the Tet Center from 10:30 a.m. onwards. And on Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market is taking place starting at 9 a.m. An oil paint techniques four scene workshop is taking place at 370 Keene Street, also at 9. And finally, the Toucan will be hosting karaoke starting at 10:30. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.